Macmillan Audio presents The Favorite Queen by Carolee Erickson, read for you by Kate Redding.
1. Has she lost her baby? My question hung in the air, unanswered. The three Spanish midwives brought from Logroño especially to attend Queen Catherine at this, her 10th delivery, did not meet my steady gaze but looked down at the thick carpet at their feet. The Queen's closest friend and principal lady-in-waiting, Maria de Salinas, her expression sombre and her shoulders rounded in defeat, stood loyally beside her mistress's bed, but said nothing. The surgeons who had been summoned by King Henry to attend the Queen were nowhere to be seen. Queen Catherine lay asleep in her high-carved wooden bed, mouth agape, her sparse greying auburn hair spread out over her lace-trimmed pillow, the pillow sweat-stained and rumpled, as were the bedclothes. Her face was haggard, weary. As those of us who served her knew well, she had been struggling to give birth ever since the previous evening, and it was clear to me now as I looked down at her that the effort had taken all her strength. She looked like a woman nearer in age to 60 than 40, though her 40th birthday had been celebrated by her entire household not long before. As I watched, she began to murmur in her sleep, as if troubled by disturbing dreams. Her small, white, wrinkled hands, the fingers bent and swollen, clutched convulsively at the satin counterpane. I glanced around the darkened bedchamber, taking in the closely drawn thick curtains of purple damask, the heavy old-fashioned furnishings the Queen had brought from Spain many years earlier when she came to the English court as a bride, the religious pictures and crucifixes on the panelled walls, the elaborately embroidered prie-dieu, embroidered by the Queen herself, where I had so often seen her kneeling in prayer, the implements of torture, as I thought of them, used by the midwives and laid out on a table beside the bed, knives, probes, metal clamps and pincers, bowls and towels, powders and flasks full of medicines, cruel tongs used, I knew, to reach in and grasp a resistant infant trapped inside a diseased womb. I shuddered at the sight of them and looked away. Another sight also made me shudder. A plain wooden chest stood against one wall of the room, its lid not quite closed. Protruding from one corner was a bloody cloth, a sheet, I thought. Hearing me approach, the midwives must have tucked the blood-stained sheets hastily into the chest and left one corner out. The pungent odour of lavender filled the room. Lavender, given to women after childbirth to induce a restful calm and sleep. And there was another odour as well, the sharp, unpleasant odour of opium. I had smelled it often, for my father's physician prescribed it for him to ease the pains of his gout. So the Queen had been given opium to assuage her labour and to induce the sweat trance believed to lessen the fever that carried off so many women after giving birth. Opium that helped the mother, but often, so I had heard it said, cost the child's life. I was still waiting for an answer to my question. There had been a delivery, of that I was certain. But what of the child? We had not heard the cry of the newborn, the joyous shouts of welcome and triumph from the midwives and physicians when the newborn was a boy. All was quiet in the room, except for the sound of the Queen's ragged breathing. Then I heard a stifled sob. One of the midwives had tears rolling down her olive-tinted cheeks. "Will no one tell me plainly?" I demanded. "Has she lost her baby?" After a pause, Maria de Salinas looked at me and gave the slightest nod. "He lived for an hour," she said. "Only an hour. He was baptized." At these words, Maria and the other women crossed themselves. "We prayed," Maria went on, "but it was the Lord's will to take him." My heart sank. Once more, I thought. Once more, to hope...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?